Happy Chinese New Year. Okay. For those who are in the middle, can you hear me? Okay, fantastic. So let's turn our Bibles to 1 John chapter 2, beginning from verse 12. We're going to read up to verse 19. 1 John chapter 2, verses beginning from 12. I'm going to read from ESV. I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you're strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life is not from Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Let's pray. A gracious Lord, we invite your mighty presence here. Our human minds cannot understand and comprehend what is written in the scripture, and therefore we need the presence of the Holy Spirit to discern, to love your word, to accept your word, to respond to your word. Speak to us, convict us, transform us into the image of your Son Jesus Christ. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen. Tests. For some of us, we don't like it. How many of you like tests? Nobody is raising their hands. Okay, I thought I was the only person. Okay. When I think of the test, the examination, I never like it for several reasons. You know why. And one of the reasons is after I finish those exams, I just run away from that spot. You know why? There's always a group of people who refer and check the answers. I never liked it. Right? Have you come across a situation that there are two groups discussing about, you know, that big question which has got 30% of marks, and one group saying it is 6, the other group saying it is 12, but your answer is 16,500. You hate it. But if you really understand, that has not gone away. The schools are considering tests. We have medical tests. We all have self-test COVID tools at home. And if I ask you to raise hands, almost all of you will raise. And I have 10 of them, 20 of them. Why? The reason is it measures your progress. It is often important for you to go to a medical test and get a report, so that you know exactly where you stand. Likewise, I believe the context of this book, one of the strong themes in this book is Christian maturity tests in 1 John. And in the school, they don't conduct the test without teaching something. Teaching first, followed by examination. Likewise, John taught us several things in his gospel. And now is the time for test. So 1 John has got broad tests. This is one of the themes. Test for obedience. Are you obeying? Test of love. And test for truth. Are you understanding the truth? You can see the silver line flowing through the book of John. And by the way, this all are measuring the Christian maturity, the growth. And therefore, the sermon title for today's message is Growth Test. And I want you to consider three phrases which is taken from the passage. And then we are going to get into application and prayer. Before that, the main point of the sermon is the more you love God, the more you hate this world. There are several things in this passage, but when you synthesize, the main point here is the more you love God, the more you hate this world. You may have a lot of questions. Can't we love both? Let me clarify the meaning of the word world. The world in 1 John chapter 2 does not mean the creation. If you read the reference in Acts chapter 17 verse 24, the God who made the world and everything in it, being the Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in the temples made by men. And Paul was preaching this to the men of Athens. And you can get the clear understanding from this passage. God made the world and everything in it. And why this is not the world that John is referring to? Another example is Genesis chapter 1 verse 31. It says, and God saw everything that he has made, and behold, it was very good. It was very good. And therefore, there is no way that John is going to tell that, okay, do not love this world. And this world is not people. Because John himself taught and wrote in the past. We all know this verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And John will never contradict to his own statement, inspired by the Holy Spirit, that do not love this world. No, it is not referring to the creation. It is also not referring to the people. Don't take this text out of context. Okay, Bible said do not love this world. Okay, these people, I don't love them. No, that's not the idea here. Then what is this world? What does it mean? Before getting into it, I just thought, it is satanic spiritual ecosystem that opposes God. And each word is important here. Satanic ecosystem, it is spiritual ecosystem, it is not tangible. It is not visibly clear in the first place that it is something which is wrong. But that opposes God. I want to give some reference from John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. God willing, we are going to see that later. We know that we are from God and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Do you see the reference? It is a satanic ecosystem. We need to know about it. John 12:31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. It is referring to something intangible, invisible, that is opposing God and his will. That is the world that we are referring to. Now, if you go back to the main point, the more you love God, the more you hate this world. It is not world in a sense. We need to love the people and we need to love the creation, but not this world. It is referring to this world. Let's get into that phrase. The first phrase that you want to consider is taken from verse 15. I know we're going to come back to the first part of the passage a little later, but let's dive into verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. Verse 17. And the world is passing away along with its desire. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. The command here is, do not love the world. Which means this world that we are referring to, the satanic ecosystem. John is going to expose that clearly. And he is giving two compelling reasons why we should not love this world, though it appears absolutely good. The first thing is, it is not from the Father. The source is not credible. It is from a liar, a deceiver, someone who is trying to kill you. It is not from the Father. I vividly remember when I was a child, my parents taught us, I hope it is common in other cultures as well, if anyone gives you chocolate, you should not take it. Right? Is it common here? Okay. Yeah, I thought it is. If anyone gives you chocolate, don't take it, because unless it is your father or mother. So even if we have some visitors who are coming home, they lovingly give us chocolate, the first thing we would look at is what? Parents' face. My dad or mom would say, okay, yes, get it. Okay, then we go and rush towards it. Thank God I work for a chocolate company now. Not from the Father. Don't take it. It is from a deceiver. The source is not from the Father. He's giving that compelling reason. So that's the idea here. Don't take it. It is a chocolate. You might love it, but that deceiver could take you and he could sell you and potentially he might kill you. The second reason that John is specifying why we should not love this world, because it is passing away. It might sound good and you might love it. The experience is good in this world, but it is going to pass away. It is temporal. It is not eternal. It is not eternal, so don't do it. It might appear you are on the high for a while, but this world is passing away. As I was just meditating and digesting this passage, the picture that came to my mind was this. Last year in India, eastern part of India, there was a bridge renovated. The collapsed bridge was renovated. It was built during the British time, and government leased it to an organization. They finished all the work and they opened it up for the public. And a lot of people went and they first time experienced this bridge after a long time because it was on renovation. And some of them took selfie and they put it in the social media. Got to be very, very careful at home. Our kids can take and post anything in social media. So having seen that, yes, this bridge is on, the crowd started flowing in. After a few minutes, with a lot of people on the bridge, it snapped. Several people perished, and you can see the rescue operation happening in this particular thing. It is going to pass away like that. That's the idea. You might see and you might experience different things. You might be seeing that I'm on the high. I'm enjoying this. Some people who went there, they said like, okay, nice breeze, nice climate, nice selfie. We love it. But they perished. That's the idea. Two reasons. It is not from the Father. Do not love this world. It is not going to stay forever. It will pass away. Let's now try to understand, do not love this world. What is the satanic spiritual ecosystem? He has got three traps. I can introduce an analogy, three traps, because the purpose of this is going to trap you. The number one, desires of the flesh. Number two, desires of the eyes. And number three, pride of life. That is the satanic protocol. You need to understand where this enemy is coming from. Desires of the flesh, desires of the eyes, and pride of life. Right from the beginning, how it works, I want to give you an example from Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. So when the women saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of it its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. The reason for the fall, if you decode, you see, good for food, desire of the flesh. Delight to the eyes, desire of the eyes. And it can make one wise, the pride of life. That is the same protocol that he's operating with. We need to know that. And John is exposing that very clearly, categorizing that. Warren Wiersbe says like this, it appeals to the normal appetites and tempts us to satisfy them in forbidden ways. What is wrong with eating food? What is wrong in delighting your eyes on something God created? And what is wrong in becoming wise? Nothing. But they satisfied themselves in forbidden ways. God said no, and they went in that way. You can see this picture with example. When you give to the desires of the flesh, there is an ugly list given in Galatians chapter 5. This is for you to introspect. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and these things. He says, I warn you as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Here he is referring to those who have this pattern and keep on sinning in this way. And he's clarifying that they will not enter into the kingdom of God. If that becomes a lifestyle of some people, if that becomes a pattern in their life, they will not. So when you yield to the desires of the flesh, desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, the fruit is sin. And that separates you from God. Pastor Gideon was talking about it compromises the proximity, the fellowship between you and God. You see the three things, the three traps in the temptation of Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. This is your homework. You can go back and see where is the desire of the flesh. And you can see them interlinked and working together. He had the same trap for Jesus Christ. But God overcame it. The second idea here is, the phrase is love of the Father. verse 15, I'm going to read it again. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That is the phrase. And verse 17, he further expounds, and the world is passing away along with desire. We saw that. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. So what does the love of the Father means here? It is our response. Let us be clear. He loved us first. It is our response to God's love by doing the will of God. God loved us first. That's the sequence. Whenever we say, out of the blue, let's love God. No, there is a reason. It is a response. Why it is important. Now John is contrasting in verse 17. Abides forever. You're going to be with this God forever and ever. That is the hope. What is the contrast? The world is passing away. But when you love the God, when you love the Father, you're going to be abiding with Him forever and ever. There is nothing that is going to be permanent than this. So the idea why I'm explaining this once again is the idea here is the love, we have a lot of superficial understanding of love. I saw this picture in Facebook. Those who like Jesus, please like this. Yeah, I appreciate someone who loves Jesus, and you see millions of likes. In Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, you see all these things. That's not the idea in the mind of John. The John's idea is whoever does the will of God. It is not just feeling. It's an action. Love of God means, let me give a couple of references to justify the argument that I have here. John chapter 15, verse 9 and 10. He taught this first. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. The idea of love is keeping the commandments. That's what John had. It's not just the feeling. You go and conduct a survey with all believers around the world. You say, I love Jesus. Millions of likes. But John is referring to something different here. 2 John chapter 1. We have only one chapter, verse 6. And this is love. He's defining it. That we walk according to his commandments, this is the commandment. Just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. Walking accordance to the commandment of God is loving God. It's not just the feeling, wow, I love Jesus. Thirdly, before we get into the third phrase, we have seen the phrase, love of the world. And the second phrase we have is love of God, which is taken from the text. And before getting into the third phrase, I thought that I'll explain the terms children, fathers, and young men. You see the three categories. And thanks to Chris last week, he talked about the way John writes and the way Paul writes. Paul writes as per bullet points. He's a linear thinker and John is more of a dynamic. He goes round and round. So he said a couple of times, there is a nuance to it. If you see verse 12 and verse 13, I am writing And verse 14, the second time he is not repeating, it means, I have written this before. Theologians believe that the second one he is referring to is the Gospel of John. The first part is 1 John, the letter. Right. That's a small nuance. The other one is, there are three categories: children, fathers, young men. What about women? So the definition here is a little different. This is not referring to gender or an age group. This is referring to the spiritual maturity of believers in the church. Children means young believers, new believers. Fathers means matured believers. And young men means maturing believers. That's the category. It includes all age group. Men and women, people from different background. It includes all of them. So the three categories that he has got in mind is children, new believers, fathers, matured believers who are supposed to train others. Matured believers, it does not mean perfect. It does not mean absolutely perfect. We don't have one in ICRMK. We don't have one in any church in the world. Only the head, Jesus Christ, is perfect. Chapter 1, we clarify, John is clarifying, if we say we don't have any sin, I'm a matured believer, I don't have any sin, I'm deceiving myself. We hear this expression, right? Don't make fool of yourself. That's not the idea. That person is, the father is matured. Children is new believers. And the young men refers to maturing believers. So as we deep dive into this, so please have this picture in mind. For a small nuance, the little children mentioned in verse 12 and the little children mentioned in verse 13 is different. The little children mentioned in verse 13 refers to the new believers. Little children mentioned in verse 12 means it is the entire church, all believers. So that's a small nuance. You don't have to remember that. For those who are detail-oriented, I'm just sharing this to you. All right. Will of God. Now the question is, we are here on the point, we understand that the love of the world do not love the world. That point is very clear. Why? Because the source is not from the Father. Because it is going to pass away. That is clear. The second part, love of Father means not just feeling, but doing the will of God. Now we are going to understand and double click the will of God, what it means. How can we get this right? I want to know the will of God. I want to know the will of God in this matter. We always say this, right? And now that means loving God. We saw that. Argument number two. Loving God means doing the will of God. Not just knowing the will of God, but doing the will of God. How do we do the will of God? The first reference here is written in verse 12. I'm writing to you, little children, the whole church, listen to this, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. It is important to read through that once. Verse 13, I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. How do you know the will of God? Your proximity with God will make sure you know the will of God. How will you get the proximity? How will you have that fellowship when the sins are forgiven? There are two things here. One is all our sins are forgiven. on the cross. It is finished. We have a legal position that we are righteous. At the same time, we stumble upon the sin. On a weekly basis, we stumble, or maybe on a monthly basis. And therefore, we need to repent and we need to confess. And therefore, the distance between you and your God is limited. The fellowship is, the proximity is maintained. The discipline of confessing the sin is so crucial in our life as we grow in Christian life. Oh, that was given only to children. It is not applicable to us now. It is applicable to us. Confessing sin, and in the past weeks we saw, it is not a one stage that, okay, I'm out of sin. It's a steady, slow, progressive journey of maturity that you continue to confess the sin because you love the Father. How will you get to know? When you are closer to a person, you will get to know them better. If you want to know the will of God, you need to know that your sins are forgiven in the first place. And when you sin, you need to confess your sin. The more you are closer to someone, you will understand them better. Your fellowship with God on a daily basis is important. Remember, your sin can come in that way. I want to give you a picture of that. No, I'm a believer. No, that will not come. A few weeks back, it was clarified. No, it compromises the fellowship, the proximity between you and God will be low if you continue to sin. If you have sin in your life, unconfessed sin in your life, the call is to confess now. Stop everything today and confess. Acknowledge and confess. And no one is exempted from this. You could be a missionary. You could be serving the Lord. You could be preaching the word. We all need to confess. No one is exempted, including Jesus Christ. I want to show you that picture in the cross. Remember, the first thing Jesus said was, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." He had authority. He had relationship with the Father. When the sin of the world was on Jesus Christ, on that peak moment, he became sin. And he had to say, instead of Father, he used an expression, Eli. Remember that? Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. The son calling the father, God, God, why have you forsaken me? Because Isaiah 59 clarifies, your sin separates you from God. Because of that gospel, we are not separated from him. But yet, our fellowship could be compromised. The proximity with God could be compromised if you don't confess your sin. If you continue. Second one is young men, which is maturing believers. This is applicable to all believers. The word of God abides in you. If you have the word of God is abiding in you, abide is a term, an idea, fixed. It refers to the constant. It refers to the lifestyle. It's not once in a week. I hear the preaching in the church. No, an ongoing meditation or consuming God's word. The word of God abides in you. The idea is, I love the word. Psalm 119, we saw that. I meditate it. The way you love, the way you meditate, the way you memorize, the way you apply, the way you make choices, the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one by knowing the will of God. If you have a sporadic way of reading the word, I can say you're compromising your growth. You need to confront that reality. if the reading of the Word of God is sporadic in your life, you're compromising your growth. Why? Because the will of God, the voice of God is recorded in the written Word of God. If you don't consume it on a daily basis, you can't abide in His Word. I would encourage you to memorize certain important scriptures. And it pops up in the right time. If you're really interested, you can let me know. And I have a book, How to Memorize the Word of God. That's the idea. You should be meditating. Growing believers must. I'm using the word. Growing believers must meditate the Word of God every day. Else, your growth is compromised. As you mature, even those who are mature, even more, the Word of God. The more you read the Word of God, the more you will understand the will of God. Because it is inspired by the Spirit of God, you are also inspired to do the will of God. This is not like a textbook where you just read it. When assisted by the Spirit of God with a prayer, it gets into your bones. You can't just shake it out of your mind. It will transform you into the image of His Son. And therefore you will know and do the will of God. The last thing is know Him. This is particularly for the fathers who are matured. Oh, that's it? They know God? This knowing is different to knowing recently. This knowing is they know Him who is from the beginning. They know Him who is from the beginning. They are matured. Their sins are forgiven. They are confessing their sins as a part of their lifestyle. The Word of God abides in them over a period of time. They know Him well. That's the meaning here. Matured believers. Okay, I don't have a permission, Golda, to say this example. But let me try and face the consequence later. Pray for me. So the first myth I want to demystify is when it is an arranged marriage, that doesn't mean it's a forced marriage. Okay? So we need to explain that to many people. It is not forced marriage. The elders of the church, the believers, they bring two people together and they choose. Right? Number one. Number two, arranged marriage is not child marriage either. So there are two different perceptions that I realized, because when I said first time to my boss, mine is an arranged marriage, he almost jumped out of the car. And he's a British by birth. Okay. So the first thing what they do is the believers from different churches, and they know, okay, there is a boy like this. Okay, there is a bride. So they give a bio data. Right? The bio data has got a picture. The full picture of the person and the details about the person, what they have studied, born-again believer, and some information, basic information. When I first got it, that was the first bio data that I got, and I prayed, and by God's grace, we both said yes. At that particular time, if someone asked me, do you know Golda? And I would say, yes, I know her. How I know her? Because I have read the bio data. I've seen her picture. And after that, I saw her once. Right? Few minutes. And I know her, I would say. And now after 17 years, I say, I know her. Do you see the difference? That's what John is referring to in verse 14. I write to you, fathers, because you know Him. I wish, within the bracket, I know Him well. No one knows Him perfectly. But the mature believers know Him to the extent. I know what she likes, the food she likes. And I can proactively ask for forgiveness, because the moment I have done something, I know that she doesn't like it. Right? Because I know her. That's the idea. as you mature in the Lord, when you confess your sin, when you abide in the Word, when you walk with the Lord, the more you love Him, you will know and do His will. That's the point. Are you enabling growth? Three application questions for you to consider. Are you confessing your sin regularly? Number one. Number two, are you meditating God's word regularly? Number three, are you connected to people who help you know and experience Christ regularly? Who are those people? They are in community groups. They are in men's group. They are in women's group. Plugged in. Get connected. Get connected. They are not Christ in full, but they are work in progress. You can see traces of Christ. I had brothers who walked along with me. I saw Christ in their decisions, in their words, in their deeds, in the way they handled things. I saw Christ in them. We talked about growth test. Now let's come to the report. The test, I believe the test is there are two different options. You can't love the world and love the Father. These are two different options. Why do I say so? Verse 15, do not love the world or the things in the world. He says, if anyone loves this world, the world, option number one, the love of the Father is not in him. As you grow, as you love the Father, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life will lose its significance in your life. Love the Father by doing His will, by confessing your sins, by reading His word, by obeying consciously His commandments. Love the Father, and the left-hand side option will grow. That is growth. So here is the moment you can do this growth test. You can go prayerfully consider this. This is a significant part of it. You remember, love this world, love of the Father. Two are two different things. It is a test because he says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's not my opinion. And therefore, the main point of the sermon is, the more you love God, the more you hate this world. The more you love God, the more you hate this world. I want to close this with a small testimony. How this is going to look like in a real life. We talked about children. We talked about young men. We talked about fathers. We got the idea of growth, maturity stages. We understood how we can love the Father. We understood all the elements of it now, how this can manifest in the life of a person. This is for inspiration I'm prayerfully considering. Dr. Ashok was a young boy several years ago in my hometown. He studied medicine. In India, if you study medicine, you're one of the top cream of the students from the high school. You don't get it. The top cream often goes to medical side of the education. That's pristine. And this boy was one of those intelligent boys from a very humble background, a Hindu boy. He went to this medical college and the gospel was preached. He became a believer, a new believer. As he was walking with the Lord in the years, as he was praying, as he was confessing the sin, as he was getting strengthened by the word of God, he discerned that God is calling him to go to a place called Bihar in India. And that place is called as the graveyard of missionaries. He accepted Christ. God, he felt God has given him burden to go and work as a missionary in Bihar. He went to an agency, an organization who's established in Bihar, a Christian organization. He went to the founder and said that God called me to Bihar. I'm here to serve. And the founder felt that, okay, you're a new believer. Sometimes you could emotionally take certain choice. I want you to pray about it for several months and come after 6 months or so. I don't exactly remember. So this boy was praying more and more, and God confirmed the calling. And he went back after several months to the founder and said that, I want to talk to you. The founder asked, what's your position now? He said, I want to serve the Lord even more. Okay? You know about Bihar? Yes, I don't know anything about it. I know a little bit of Bihar, but I want to go. But this little boy said, I have one condition though. And he was surprised. I'm selecting you. You're giving me a condition. Okay, tell me what it is. And he said that there are two pay grades I understand. One is a doctor, missionary doctor's pay grade, which is like $200 per month higher. And the missionary pay grade, which is around $70 per month. These are facts, approximately. And this boy said, God called me as a missionary. If you consider me as a missionary, I will join there as a missionary. And the founder was shaken. There are a lot of need for doctors in that place. Won't you serve as a doctor? He said, yes, I will certainly serve as a doctor, but I will preach the word. I will pray. Consider me as one of the missionary. I will serve both as a doctor and a missionary. He went there for the past 1.5 decades. He's serving him faithfully. Now, in this example, this decision means all his fellow members, he then graduated in master's. He became a very successful doctor. And right now, he is still a missionary in Bihar for the past 15 years. In the past 15 years, if he is making a phone call or looking into the Facebook of his friends, some of them had multi-million US dollars in their bank balance. They drive Mercedes Benz and they go to different places and post the pictures. And this guy is persevering and doing the will of God in Bihar in a very humble setting. That doesn't mean a compromise on finance alone. In summers, easily the temperature crosses 50, which means his children will have to persevere that heat. His wife and children need to live in a very humble manner. They should be happy with 3 times normal meals. The point that I want to say is, a sacrifice, man, when I hear this. But he was so happy because he loved the Father in response to how he loved him. For him, this is nothing. All those fancy pictures, all the friends that they have is nothing. He is not controlling himself. He is not sacrificing himself. According to him, he made a choice to love God in response to what he did for him on the cross. Let the cross inspire us to love the Father. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord, we thank you. Lord, we understand the more we love God, the more we love God, the less we love this world. Or the more we hate this world. We were trying to hate this world in many occasions, but we failed. Help us to love you by coming closer to you, by constantly forgiving the sin. Ask for forgiveness of sin. Help us to constantly meditate your word. Help us, help the word to abide in us. Help us to know you as you mature. Help us to get connected to people who can inspire and show Christ. Lord, we pray. Help us to love you. Help us to hate this world. While we understand the text, we don't have the strength. We need the power of the Holy Spirit from now. And let this bring a revival in our hearts. Let this text bring revival at our homes. Let this bring revival in ICRMK Church. Let this bring revival in Malaysia and beyond. Please continue to speak to us. Not one sermon can change it, but the Holy Spirit can take this sermon and bring a meaningful impact. Help us to make choice that pleases you, that demonstrates the love that we have for you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.